This is Smart Tech, episode 1301. Welcome to Smart Tech. Welcome to Smart Tech. My name's Chuck Minear, and I'm your host through this trek, this galactic jump, this hyperdrive through technology. Was that a little bit spastic? I wanted to get your attention. You might be going, well, wait a minute. Why another episode about technology? Don't we have a lot of those? Don't we have a lot of podcasts and broadcasts about technology? Well, we do, but none of them have my spin on technology. And you're saying, and who are you? Well, my name is Chuck Minear, and I would like to take this show to explain a little bit about why we're doing what we're doing and what you can expect from what we're doing and who I am. That's what I'm going to do today. So hopefully you'll enjoy your time with your first episode of Smart Tech. But before we continue, I'd like to let you know that there's one spot on the web that you can find out everything you need to know about Smart Tech, and that's, of course, our website. You can find us at smarttech.tv, SMARTTECH.TV, two T's before the TV. You can contact us there. You can find our show notes. You can find out other information, our blog, anything you need to know. So that's smarttech.tv, SMARTTECH.TV, two T's before the TV. Well, as I said before, my name is Chuck Minear, and I have been involved with technology my entire life. I grew up with a father who owned a recording studio, and we lived in New York City, and then we lived in New Jersey, and he would go into the city, and he would work for a large church. They were doing radio programs, and he would work with other radio and broadcast medium at that time. When we were quite young, we decided to make the move to Beverly, as they say. It actually wasn't Beverly Hills, but it was in Southern California. And we moved to Southern California so that my father could become a little more involved in broadcast. And he did. And so he was involved with several studios in the Los Angeles area. We did a lot of location recording. As I got older, I would schlep his equipment around with him. And I remember crawling through attics of churches, pulling wiring and doing things like that when I was young. In the meantime, he started a home recording studio. And back then, home recording studios were a little more special. People didn't have a lot of those. I mean, I'm recording on a computer in my office. And I've made my office a studio. In those days, that was a lot less common. You would have a recording studio that was built specifically as a recording studio, and it was a special place to go. So we were in this two-story California bungalow, and he took the second story, and he made it a recording studio. We put in sound dampening, ran the wiring, and it was a really high-class studio. What was kind of cool was in the backyard from the World War II era was an old bomb shelter, which was actually the back end of a tanker truck. It was actually the tank. And what they had done back in the 40s is they had dug a big hole in the backyard, dropped this tank down under the ground, and then covered it with dirt. And the idea was in a nuclear explosion, you were supposed to go down to this bomb shelter, like a tank underneath the ground was going to help you from a nuclear blast. But, you know, we didn't really think too logically back in those days, I guess. So what was neat about this house is he ran a microphone cable down into this bomb shelter. And then on the other end of the bomb shelter, he put a speaker. And so it was his echo chamber. You know, now you record your voice and I can, turn a knob and I can be in an echoey environment. Let me see if I can turn my knob and do that there. I can do that right from my board. I can just pick different settings and I can sound differently. But back in those days, it wasn't that easy. And so you typically in big studios, they would have live echo chambers. In fact, they would build these big rooms and you'd place microphones in different parts of the room and you could get different echo effects by which microphone you turned on. So it was quite a thing. And now it's a piece of outboard equipment or, you know, in your mixing board. This one, what I just did was in my mixing board, which is pretty amazing to me. So technology's always amazed me. I mean, I watched them do that and I thought, wow, this is really cool. And this sounds like we're in a cavern. And how does he do that? And we've evolved into this, you know, pushing a button and having multiple effects that probably sound even more realistic for a fraction of the cost. So that's a little bit why I'm excited about technology, because I've watched it grow. So anyway, he had this recording studio, and I grew up doing a lot of radio. I would engineer as a teenager. I would engineer the radio, and then I would edit it. And we edited. We had big reel-to-reel tapes, a metal block and a razor blade and tape. And when we wanted to make an edit, we would mark the spot with a grease pencil, go up to the other spot, mark it with a grease pencil, cut the two out, put them together, and edit that piece of tape. And I got pretty good at doing that by hand. I could do things pretty quickly. In fact, what's kind of amazing to me is that I could edit probably faster, in some sense, I could edit faster on reel-to-reel at one point than I probably can digitally at this point. So that was kind of interesting. I went on to university. I went to Golden West College in Huntington Beach. I got my certificate in recording engineering, and I went on to Cal State Long Beach and got my bachelor's in radio, TV, film, my minor in industrial education. And in those days, I had worked a little bit at KLON, which is now KJAZZ in Los Angeles, in the news department, putting news shows together. I thought I might want to work in radio. I really liked working in the studio environment. But I also found out that I was good at teaching, and I enjoyed teaching. And industrial arts, being my minor, was a teaching minor, or teaching major, actually. And so part of the responsibility in getting a minor in industrial education was teaching. And so I got some experience doing that. And I also come from a family of teachers on my mother's side. My mother was a teacher and then a school principal. My uncle, the same way. My cousin. We're all in the education teaching profession. So I found I like to talk, which is good for broadcasting, and I also like to teach, which is good for the teaching profession. And so putting those together was kind of interesting. So I decided to get my teaching credential. And so there was an opportunity where I could do my student teaching overseas. And so I went to Wales, and I taught school, craft design and technology, in Caerleon. It's a town in South Wales. And I enjoyed that. And it introduced me to all kinds of different types of technology. When I returned to Los Angeles, it was a time of recession, like we're in right now while I'm recording this. And jobs were a little harder to get, and I decided that I wanted to eat. And so, I started looking for teaching jobs, because the good thing about teaching jobs, at least back then, is there was some pretty good job security, some pretty good benefits, and you did get summers off. And I liked it. So I went in to apply for a job, and my credential was in industrial education. Well, if I was teaching industrial education, I learned in college, I learned electronics, and I learned graphic arts. Those are the two areas I really focused on, because it was my minor and I didn't have to take, all of the industrial arts subjects. I only had to take 20 units. And so I took three different areas, but they were mostly graphic design and electronics. In fact, electronics is why I went down to take industrial education, because I wanted to learn electronics if I was working in a studio. And I liked electronics. I used to, as a kid, I would, build Heathkit, do that kind of stuff. So that was fun. So I applied for a job in a Southern California school district. And the only job that was available in my area was a woodshop teacher in a middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I didn't get the job the first day. But apparently the other person that they interviewed turned down the job, because they were offered several jobs, because they were much more qualified than I was. And I was hired to teach middle school. And so I walked into this middle school woodshop class and I had to figure out all kinds of things. And boy, did I learn a lot. And I enjoyed it. And I taught that for several years. But my interest, of course, electronics and different types of technology and woodworking is technology. And so I went to the principal and I said, you know what I'd really like is I'd really like to get a computer for the woodshop. And she looked at me rather strangely and said, you know, you can't put a computer in a wood shop. It's dusty. And I said, yes, you can. Yeah, they use computers. We have computer numerical control. We use computers for doing drafting. And this was, you know, a long time ago. So over 20 years ago. So it was not done normally what they could see, but I could see it. I was around in industry. And so eventually I got my computer and we started doing some things in the class. And I saw this program being done called Exploring Technology, where you build all these different technology modules in a classroom and kids rotate through each module. And so we did that. We wrote a grant. We wrote all the curriculum because we didn't have money to buy the curriculum. There wasn't a whole lot out there anyway. And opened up, converted the wood shop to this Exploring Tech Lab, keeping the woodworking in one part of the classroom because that was one of the modules that students would go through. But we did lasers and robots, and we had graphic design. We had a little video studio, a little audio studio. We had a flight simulator, and all of these were tied to vocations, to jobs. And so 6th, 7th, and 8th graders would learn about jobs as they did hands-on things. And so that was pretty exciting. I remember one student coming up to me and saying, you know, after doing the flight simulator, says, you know, I really want to be a pilot. I think this is great. And, you know, all teachers like to hear that they've inspired and made their students excited about some form of learning. And so I asked him, so how's your grade in science? Oh, I'm flunking science right now. I said, you know what? I don't want to fly with you. If you're flunking science, you need science to be able to fly an airplane. And what was neat about my class is that it would bring the core subjects together and give them practical hands-on experience and say, look, here's how you use this. You're taking math. Here's how you use this. You're taking science. Here's how you use this. Here's how history is involved with this. And so, in fact, I really enjoyed learning about history through technology. There's a great video series called Connections, done by the BBC, and it's basically history through technology and technological innovations and how one innovation connected to another or event connected to another to get us to where we were today. It's very, very interesting. Burke is the guy who does that. So I'll put that in the show notes because it's really good. So I did that for quite a few years, and then Al Gore invented the internet. And that's a joke, by the way. And we started to put internet access in schools. We wanted internet access in schools. And so there was a grant in the state of California called the Digital High School Grant. And that allowed internet connections to be dropped to every school and one computer to be put in every classroom. Can you imagine a time when there's one computer in every classroom? And a lot of those teachers didn't want a computer in their classroom. anyway, and they didn't know how they would use that computer in their classroom. And so I started to work with a high school. They hired me to come up and to oversee that grant. And so I was in charge of that grant. I was in charge of making sure all the teacher training took place. And that's when I really started to teach adults. And so that went on for several years. I put this grant together for the high school, got it all involved. And when that was finished, I moved over to the district office and I became the technology teacher specialist for the entire district. And so I and another gentleman would train all the teachers in the whole district. We started to focus a lot on elementary schools, and we would train all of these teachers to use technology in their classroom. We integrated a school-wide gradebook system and some other things. So that was pretty exciting. And I moved on from there to being a consultant for LA County ROP. And so I oversaw the trade and industry classes for ROP, which if you're outside of California, you don't know what that means, but that means regional occupational programs. And those are funded by the state of California to teach hands-on vocational skills to students. And so I became a curriculum expert and started writing curriculum. I wrote some curriculum that was used by a national company for exploring technology, and did a lot of writing for the state of California. We published throughout the state for different technical subjects. So that was pretty exciting. When I went over to the county office, I had 23 school districts and 18 subject areas spread out in all of Los Angeles County. If you've ever been to Los Angeles, you know it's big. I could spend a good morning driving from my side of the county over to the other side of the county just to do some consulting work for them. So there was a lot of driving, and I didn't much like the driving part. And so a job opened up in another school district, and that was in an adult school. And I became the assistant principal for our adult school, training students to get jobs and in technical subjects. So I work in the Career Technical Education Center, and we do technical subjects. So my hand's been in technology, and my hand's been in education for a long, long time. So I'm really excited about taking that knowledge, my experience, and sharing that with other people. And this is a great medium to be able to do that. It's kind of full circle. It's like I started doing radio and radio production, and this is almost the same as doing radio. It's just a different medium. So it's not, I got some podcasters mad at me because I use the word radio. This is not radio. Radio is broadcast over the air, but this is broadcasting via the internet. So it is a broadcast medium like radio. And it seems like a really interesting thing because you can subscribe to what you want to hear. And so I'm excited about that. And what I'd really like you to do is to go to our website. Our website is smarttech.tv, SmartTech.tv. There's two T's before the TV. On that site, you'll be able to see our show notes. You'll be where I'll put links to whatever we talk about. You'll be able to see what we talked about. You'll be able to download podcasts. You'll be able to link to iTunes, and you'll be able to sign up on our list so that we can let you know via feed. We can let you know when a new show comes out. My goal is to produce a new show every 2 weeks at this point, two a month, and we'll see how that goes. I don't really want to produce shows for the sake of producing shows. I'd rather produce shows that are a little bit meaningful. Of course, this show probably isn't that meaningful to you, except to find out what we're doing here at Smart Tech. So where we'll put that all together is smarttech.tv. We also have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter account, and that information is also on our website. So go to the website, smarttech, smarttech.tv. I'm generally a Mac user. You know, there's usually, you pick a side, Mac or Windows. I use both. I use a lot of Windows at work. My installation base when we did Digital High School was Windows, but Macs just work well. And I really became a Mac user when viruses became very, very bad in Windows. And viruses aren't nearly as bad. At least the effects aren't as bad as they used to be in Windows, but I'm now a Mac user. I think it works really well, but I will not just be talking about Mac. I will not just be talking about iPhones and iPads, but we'll talk about everything because I think that all technology as it's being developed spurs other technology growth. Going back to the connections that I talked about earlier, every technology connects to another technology and it spurs innovation. And so I'm real excited about anything tech, and we'll talk about anything tech. In fact, last summer I was driving down from Seattle, Portland area, and I told my wife, okay, I get my moment of geekiness. After going through the Redwoods, we stopped in Petaluma, and it happened to be a Tuesday. And so I stopped at the Twit Studios in Petaluma. And we saw Leo Laporte host the MacBreak Weekly show and also the Technology Morning show with Tom Merritt was being hosted. So that was really fun. They've taken this idea kind of back to the old idea of we're going to set up a studio that's going to podcast and broadcast and So it's a beautiful studio, and they've set it up so they've got different areas within the studio, and they can turn the whole control panel and the cameras one way or another, and they have different sets, and they can turn over shows very quickly, which you kind of do in podcasting. If you're podcasting full time, more like you would do in radio than you would do in television. And so they've kind of taken the radio idea, and they've kind of put a television spin on it, and they've come up with a unique podcast studio. So I think that's really exciting. So I hope you've learned a little bit about me and why I'm here and what I plan on doing. And I'd like to bring you along. I'd like to make a lot of new friends. I'd like to hear what you have to say about technology. I'd like to hear what you think, because that will be incorporated into the shows. The shows are not just about me. They're about you. And taking those shows and making them what we want them to be, and making them interesting, and being smart about our tech. That's the whole idea of this show and the network. And maybe we'll start some other shows. Maybe we'll pull in some other people. But for right now, we're starting off small. I hope you'll get in on the ground floor. Go to our website. Get to know who we are. And when I say we, I really mean me. Get to know who I am. It's the royal we. Get to know who I am. And let's become friends, and let's share about our passion. Because my passion is technology, and I hope yours is too. So until next time, you know, I don't really have anything to say until next time. I would love a great sign-off. You know, like MacBreak Weekly, Leo Laporte at the end says, "So, get back to work. Break time's over." You know, I like that because it's, you know, MacBreak Weekly. So I'd really like to find something to say that separates us from the crowd. What do we say here at Smart Tech? So if you have any ideas, go to the website, click on the contact, and let me know. Will I have a prize for you? Heck no, I have no budget. But eventually I'll have prizes and things like that. But what would you like, you know, I could say signing off for, you know, Walter Cronkite, "And That's the Way It Was," you know, or "Is," or, you know, anyway, I want to find something that's pithy and, you know, pithy, like "The Spin Stops Here," you know, "Because I'm Looking Out for You." But all of those have been taken. So if you have any ideas, let me know. Give us some feedback. That'll be pretty exciting. Until next time, I'll just sign off. SmartTech.tv. Go visit us, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.